100 Word Stories.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stuff from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. No more lame excuses for the poor audio quality. It's your ears. Go get them checked right now. Oh, the topic this week was space. We've got a lot of stories this week, so I'll shut up and get right to it. The first story is by Thomas. In fact, I think the first four are. So let's launch! Was that exciting enough? I should probably buy some sound effects.
Just how much space does the average human require? Most answers I found said 2 square feet. I needed to find out before I started shopping for luggage and trunks for my new out-of-the-way farmhouse in upstate Massachusetts. I'm a quiet fellow. I'm polite, keep to myself, and never been in any trouble, although I hated my parents and wet my bed until I was 17. I planned to change that when I moved to my new home. I'm tired of living day by day, and I want to spice things up a bit. A little bit. Space! I need more space! She screamed, jumping up and down, tears flying from her red, swollen face. She was relentless until we caved and rearranged her cubicle. A longtime employee of Metropolitan Insurance, she had a lot of pull knowing the secrets the director had hidden in his closet, where the bodies were buried, and in possession of dozens of private executive memoranda. We replaced her computer screen with a larger one, bought her a large Hello Kitty wall clock, and gave her the new Herman Miller Embody office chair in the brightest shades of pink she specified. Space, the final frontier. These are the planned voyages of Thomas's new gyrocopter. Its 5-year mission is to explore the strange new shopping center, the college, and the housing development. At night, running with no lights, to seek out new life and new neighbors to spy on with night goggles and photograph with infrared. To boldly go where no man has gone before, nor dared to go before. To a vantage point overlooking the girls' dorm room of the university. 2 spaces after a period, one after a semicolon and one after a comma. No spaces between the top central incisors of movie stars and fashion models, unless they are of the likes of Madonna, Natalie Cole, Laura Giacomo, and Laura Hutton. Supposedly oversexed and well-traveled, these gap-toothed women can whistle like songbirds and put a steady stream of water into a container 10 feet away. The envy of other women and sought after by men because of the folklore that surrounds them. These unique beauties were once said to have summer teeth. Some are here, some are there.
Thank you, Thomas. Hey, you know, I've got summer teeth at this point on the lower jaw. Oh, man, they did the cleaning on, I got a slight gap down there on the lower part now that's going to have to be filled in. And now that the Cobra is all messed up, they sent the forms. Now there's the waiting time, because you wait a while before the next one kicks in, and then figure out if you need the full, you know, if you get hurt, or if you need the dental. I know I'm going for the dental, and then I'll get all the stuff that I've spent in the past week reimbursed. Well, except for all the runs to Whole Foods, and God, I'm spending like a madman. Oh, well, I need to get that button down. Anyway, thanks, Thomas, and, Lauren Hutton. Oh, bring back memories. Yeah. I may need to pause this for a bit. Nah, not yet. Okay, so who's up next? Whoa, I really may need to pause it. It's Muncie! All right. And he got this one in really early, too. So this means the early bird gets the worm. And why do you want worms? So here's Muncie, who will not give you worms.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome. May I take a moment before we begin to talk to you about Fight Club? No? The first and second rule, you say? That's unfortunate. It's just that Fight Club is really important to me on a deeply personal level, and I like to share the things I'm passionate about. Oh well. I'll get straight to the story. Space, by Christopher Monroe. Know what trope I miss? Attaching space to things to make them more future-y. Writers used to do it for a good long while. People would take spaceships to space stations, change into spacesuits, and spacewalk to the spaceport. It was cheesy, I'll grant you, but it had a certain space charm. Space equals future fell out of fashion once people started actually going to space, I think. But we've built awesome robots to send in our place now, so I think space is due for a space comeback. Who's with me? I hope you've enjoyed my space story. Now, I'm off to eat my space lunch. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Debut novel coming soon. And if you ever need someone to carpool to Fight Club with... Damn it, I did it again!
Oops, Muncie did it again. He mentioned Fight Club, and now he's in trouble. Oh, sorry. I gotta get some coffee. Thank you, Mr. Muncie. Or is it just Muncie, Muncie, Muncie? I don't... Major Muncie, Muncie. Major Muncie. Right. Next up, we have Two by Lizzie Goodcoff. She got so into writing that she writes on every... She writes in her sleep. I know it. And even if she didn't have a pen or pencil, I mean, she would sweat the stories backwards and imprint them upon the sheets. And if you have an ultraviolet... Let's not go there. So here's Lizzie and her Two... story. I should break these up. No, I'm going to put them together. You know, do it like we do with Thomas and just all in one group. Man, that dude can write. Just everyone can write. I can't write anymore. I'm so wrapped up in this. Okay, the new job started and it all has to be in global English. And you can tell by the way I talk that I don't talk in global English. So this is fun. And every time I write, I need to get the grammar Nazis in my head are like, you are going off to the camps. And I'm like, yeah, I am, you are taking me to the camps. And, you know, it's just big fights. And, well, you are, you know, as an active and you know, you don't want to use passive. And stop it. I'm just going to go with Lizzie's story.
Something crashed beyond the mountain. Don't go, they yelled. But she walked through the shallow waters all the way to the other side. Aliens! She wanted to run, but... They were grumbling about some technical failure and trying to cool the engine down. Need any help? She asked, amused at the scene. Yeah, a couple of you could hop in our energy processor so we can go back home. That would be great. Like, burned to death? The alien shrugged, whatever, and got back to fixing the engine. These days, you can't even trust an alien to be scary anymore. Okay, this was my story for the week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcoff.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And now I shall flip the record and play Side 2.
The story I'm about to read to you came up from this activity called The Dash and Drabble. It happens on Fridays, and it's a collaboration between the Virtual Writers Incorporate. They're a group who meets in Second Life to write as well, and Crap Mariners 100 Word Stories. This takes place on Fridays. And this week, the prompts were storm and space. And this is the story. She waited. The storm would be the cover. It would not be an invasion of green oddballs with antennas. It would not be a hostile takeover by semi-invisible, deformed, zombie-resembling beings. It was just an arrival, a settling, and hopefully a peaceful cooperation. They had heard a lot about humans. She waited. She waited a long time until they sent the message that they wouldn't get there anymore. She got back in her car and drove home. It would be a long 100 years till that storm came round again. Perhaps then they would too. Till then, she waited.
Thank you, Lizzie. She waited. Ooh. All right, I'm going to flip my phone over. I do not need to be playing Words with Friends while doing this. I'm also baking bread. I've gotten back in the habit of baking bread for coworkers. Now that it's easy to bring the bread in, I've got baskets on my bike, but not on the front. You know, where I'd stick ET, they're on the side and they fold in. It's kind of cool. I posted photos of the bike before, and I need to post photos of the cat before, which does not fold at all. If you try to fold the cat is not happy. Speaking of happy, though, I'm happy to welcome once again Jeffrey Fisher. That's right. He's back. I know. You're just as surprised as I... No, you're going to enjoy this one. Here you go. Jeffrey's Space.
This is Jeffrey Fisher with a story for Weekly Challenge number 334. And not coincidentally, this story is called Space. She said she didn't want to break up. She just wanted some space. Well, let me tell you, man. I've heard that before, and I know what it means. It means she wants to break up, but doesn't have the guts to say so. At least she told me in person. When you're dumped with a phone call or a text message, how lame is that? Has it ever happened to you? You feel like dirt. Like she never cared enough about you to tell you face to face. We were at the rooftop bar of the W, the one on 15th Street. Pricey drinks, but great views. Anyway. She told me she wanted her space, so I gave it to her. Just like that. One push, over the edge, 11 stories down. I yelled, "Is that enough space for you?" as she went. Women, what can you do about them? Am I right, officer?
Wasn't it Galileo that said a pound of feathers and a pound of girlfriend fall at the same rate? I think Neil Armstrong tested that on the moon. Well, anyway, we'll find out with the next space launch. Thank you, Jeffrey. Ought to write that down. A pound of feathers and a pound of girlfriend fall at the same rate. Galileo tested that out, even though he liked the boys. Did he? No, I thought that was Leonardo da Vinci. I'm not sure. I'm confused. Maybe they loved each other. I get so confused. I haven't had enough coffee yet. What I think I'm going to do is stick my foot in my mouth, literally, and then I'm going to have Tom read a story. So here's Tom's story.
It's been 20 years since we moved into the house. Or should I say it's been 20 years since we sneaked into the house. Even though the house was sitting on our land, we had paid that off the year before. The manufactured home agent said, until the bank loan cleared, we could not go inside. I've never been shy about climbing through a window. Should have been a second-story man. Anyway, I open the front door for Gail, and we sit down on a 3-foot roll of carpet. Our whispers echoed off the vast, empty space.
Ah, yes, time passes, doesn't it, Tom? Thank you. You know, I'm looking around here. We've been here for, what, 12 years, am I? Wife was here many years before that, and it's time. I know, you've heard me say it's time to go get a house, but I think we're ready, and I think this job is the job, and once I stop going to Whole Foods to pick up $20 bottles of lime juice, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to be responsible. Sort of. Kind of. All right, so I hadn't been to the dentist in years. It's not like they go to your dental records for loans, do they? If they do, I'm screwed. Right. I should probably read the next story. And the next story, oddly enough, is by Serendipity. Oh, there's a recording here. Oh, good. I don't need to deal with that crap. I mean, I don't have the honor of reading it for you. Wow. Whew. Okay, I can edit that out. All right. Here is Serendipity.
There I am. Full load of shopping. And some selfish idiot has parked in my allocated space. Again. I'm not normally a violent person. But something inside me snapped. I saw red. Jumped out of my car. Within minutes, the offending vehicle was a write-off. Smashed headlights, cracked windows, slashed tires, and keyed into the paintwork along one side. Never park in my space again. I thought I'd bent my key, because I couldn't open the front door. Then I noticed the number, and my heart stopped. This isn't my apartment building.
Ha 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 ha! You crazy bitch. Wait, that was my car! We're gonna have a talk, Serendipity. But still, before that, thank you. Thank you for keying and destroying my car. The real joke is I don't own a car. I have the bike. Because I'm not just carbon neutral, I'm methane positive. Damn it. Can't fart on command. Oh well. The good news is I haven't been, you know, I've been doing the Beano thing at work, so nobody's noticed. Also, I'm off in the corner, and I have lots and lots of hidden air fresheners, so they won't know my secret until we have a really long meeting or we're stuck in a broken elevator. Just, I hope none of them are listening. Just kidding. Really, the Beano stuff works. All right, so how about we go with, Monday Jinx. Yay! I keep doing that yay thing. Whee! Okay, that's better. All right, so here's Monday's story, and he's now spelling cognitive correctly. Because, you know, if you spell it wrong, like, well, there are some really bad ways to spell cognitive. The worst I ever saw was by David Duke when he used the N-word. Oh, my God! Whew. Thank goodness that David Duke is banned from this podcast. As of episode, what was it, 305? Yeah, he just got out of control, didn't he? Oh well, here's Monday and his story.
My name is Scott Vranish Fallon, and this is my entry for Crap Mariner's 100 Word Stories Challenge on the subject of space. He sat on his therapist's couch, boring her to tears, while he navigated through major life crises with remarkable aplomb for someone so damaged. He was easily caught up in the emotional flypaper of everyday life. Today, though, his worries crowded out his thoughts, and he struggled for enough cognitive space with which to cultivate insight. How's work going? She'd chosen not to allow his current silence to resolve itself of its own accord. It's still the worst job I've ever had, he replied, but I think I have an exit plan formulating. I feel I've moved beyond merely whining.
Thank you, Monday. You know, I moved beyond whining. I now whine at a new place. Actually, I don't think I've whined yet at all. A week without whining. No wonder why I don't feel so well. I'm not exercising my whining organs. My aisles of... Oh, my God. My inner Fran Drescher is just atrophying. I don't know what to do. Whoa, what am I stepping on? Oh, I know what I forgot. I forgot to light some incense. Oh, right. Hold on, I need to break out the incense. I know this doesn't affect how you experience the podcast, because you can't smell this. Well, okay, I'm going to get the new GarageBand for the iOS 6, and there's going to be some, you know, smells going on. And actually, I could record these at work. Whoa. Okay, the lighter went out. You know, for someone who doesn't smoke, I have so many lighters. Don't ask why. Yes, I like to burn places down. Shh, don't tell my coworkers that. All right, hold on. Okay. We put that in there. And, woo, all right, nice aroma. All right. Sorry that I'm sorry. It just, I had to do that. I had to do that. Speaking of things I have to do, I need to hand you over to Zach Mann. He's got two stories as well. Just like Lizzie or half of a Thomas. Remember, the limit is, what did we set it at? 67 stories a week? So I know some of you are like, oh, damn it, I had 68 in my mind, and now I don't know which one not to send. I'm just not going to send anything. I'm going to send it over to Norm Sherman. He cares. Well, okay, good. All right. Norm's gain is my loss. I keep looking for Luke Coddington. I think he killed him. Let's get back to the podcast and Zach Mann.
Why did you buy so many cans of chili? She rants. It was on sale, explains her husband. Do you know how many things are past expiration dates? That is only the sell-by date, not the expiration date. 2005. Why do we have things with that as the sell-by date? Because, he admits, we moved twice in 2001. We have no room for so much stores. You just wait and see how prepared I am for the zombie apocalypse. I'm guessing zombies will not want your pantry full of expired canned goods either.
We've got expired goods on our shelf, too. I've been going through them and thinking, oh, man, I should have eaten those garbanzo beans. Zach Mann's got more stories. Hold on.
Hi, honey. What are you planning to do with all those tin cans? Well, dear, Mrs. Zach Mann gave me these to feed to the hogs since they are past the sell-by date. After I feed everything to the hogs, I am going to build a spaceship, like in that old radio drama. Really? She says. Well, not the spam. I think wild hogs might eat each other, but that sets a bad precedent. No, the spaceship part. Yeah, really? What could possibly go wrong? Ship exploding? But I'm not planning to commit insurance fraud like the radio characters tried.
I remember that Amos and Andy where they were committing insurance fraud and... Wait, hold on. That's racist. Oh, thank you, Zach Mann. And hopefully you get into space because it's really nice out there right now. It's good this time of year. Whew, all right. Whew, everything's starting to smell like sandalwood. It's the wood that they make sandals out of in Dutchland. Next up, we have Bonchance and Sevi, although I think in the notes I may have mixed up their names. At least they're not Amos and Andy. That would get me in trouble. And so, but I think David Duke would approve. Here's Bonchance and Sevi, or Sevi and Bonchance, if you want to be fair. I don't want to be fair.
Crab Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word is space. These rites are collaborative works between Severina Halostar, Bonchance Longfall. We wrote two stories for space. Thank you for shopping at government. Your existence is important to us. When the green light is flashing, please deposit 70% of your wages and form 10836-57 into hamper. Please ensure your form is double-spaced, 12 font, New Times Roman. Include your date of birth, blood type, social security number. Providing family history less than 4 generations will void your request. If you are deceased and want to vote, complete the blue form. Please do not call us to ask valid questions. No answers will be provided. Government is handling your request. Everything is fine. You can trust government. space. All their civilization's resources were utilized in building the ship prototype. A setback would send the entire Ant Kingdom back to the Stone Age. The crew were boarding. They would conquer vast distances of space. The moment of truth. Boner, the green swamp dog, liked to roll around in grass. Hence his green fur. He had one rule. If you don't understand something, eat it. He saw the ant ship, hundreds of armored insects boarding the strange object. He lapped with his long tongue, ate it all. Puzzle solved. One lone ant remained raising his defiant fist. An enemy born. Space.
An enemy born? Oh no. Swamp dog, green boner. Sounds kind of kinky. Oh, thank you, Bonchance. And watch that green boner. God. Oh. I don't have enough coffee in me. Must put more in me. Man, I found some good bike paths. I know the bike paths have been there for a while, but I'm just having fun. I went all the way down to Whole Foods and that. I probably need to do some more biking because the pounds are not burning off like I need them to be. I'm working on a new chart. The chart doesn't do anything. I mean, unless, you know, the chart is made out of heavy stone and I'm moving the stones around. That's exercise, isn't it? I think. Okay. Right, enough of my neurotic rambling, and let's hear some fine storytelling from Cliff, Uncle Monster, Low, otherwise known as Clifford. But he says Cliff. I just play the story.
So, I casually mentioned to Dave that he'd parked in my space again. He laughed, said he was sorry, and that he didn't realize it. The next day, the Kia was in number 42, again. I stopped by Dave's desk, but he was on a conference call, or so he said, so I left a note. Wednesday, I went in early, but Dave had beaten me. Thursday, I swear he parked it at a cocky angle, just to tick me off. Friday, I set fire to the Kia in space number 42. Or was it 24? I hate having dyslexia.
Man, lots of setting of fire. That's fun! Oh, actually, I know we have a huge supply of incense somewhere. I just don't know what drawer it is. And it's always the last drawer you look, and then it's like, honey, where's the incense? It's like, oh, it's been right here. It's like, what the? Standing right in front of me! Total perspective vortex. No, the somebody else's problem field. I'm going to have to read those books again. I threw out the sixth book by Ian Coffer guy. Oh, Lord, it sucked. Why did I try reading it again? You know, just assume they're all dead and that's it. You know, it just... it's not like the Oz books where others have picked them up and done cool things with them. No, with this, it's just like, ugh. You know, Douglas Adams was totally ruining the series, and then, you know, worse and worse and worse. It was like, but he's getting better and better and better. It's like, no. No, he's losing the absurdity. No, he's trying to write novels. It's not fun anymore. It's just crap. Oh, right. Thank you, Cliff. I am totally out of control. So what I'm going to do is hand the controls over to Caledonia Sky Tower, and she will guide us into port. Yarr! Yeah, it's Talk Like the Pirate Day coming up. I need to check my queue and see if the September 19th story is a pirate story, because when I have all of these queued up for months, in fact years in advance, sometimes I kind of screw up. So, here's Caledonia.
100-word story weekly challenge, Space, by Caledonia Sky Tower. And by God, you'll give me mine! His fist hit the chair armrest with a thud. She tried to remember what she'd seen in him at the academy, but she didn't remember much from those days. Too many parties. Too much Romulan ale. He'd had disarming, boyish good looks and that strange, sexy kind of halting speech. He'd encouraged her, till now. No hesitation, as her hand slammed on the black button. A satisfying shrump as he and the chair disappeared through the deck, and a distant scream out through the airlock. Smiling softly, she said, I got your final frontier. Crap Mariner and I will be celebrating International Talk Like a Pirate Day on Wednesday, September 19th at 7 p.m. SLT, that's Second Lifetime, at the Shanaki Library, where there will be lots of piratical mischief. Be there or just be someplace else.
Okay, I'll be someplace else. No, I just... Thank you, Caledonia. It's Wednesday, so, who knows if Grace McDonough's gonna be doing her usual pirate type thing. If she is, then there's gonna be no 5 o'clock thing in the tree, because I don't wanna do things and then, you know, have Grace be somewhere else. I get jealous. And then, if not, then we'll see. Maybe we'll just play greedy. Well, you know, yarr! And then lots of poop decks. What the fuck is a poop deck, anyway? Oops. Explicit tag. I know, explicit. If you have an explicit tag, you don't get stuff. But then again, that Adam Carolla guy gets promoted. Do I look like Adam Carolla to you? No. I don't drive a Corolla. I don't, whatever. I'm sure his real name is something else, like Adam Honda or something. He's really Korean. We need more Korean comedy, that's what I say. Except that one, who's that one? Oh, God. Oh, Margaret Cho, not funny. I know a lot of you think she's funny. I don't think she's funny. It's just, you know, Ellen got beyond the whole L-word thing, but just, never mind. I'm not going to get into identity politics and humor. Oy! Alright, so next up is... Stephen the Nuclear Man, speaking of identity politics and humor, I mean, this guy, oh, he just, this guy tears it up. So, let's all just strap on our funny vests and get ready for a trip with Stephen the Nuclear Man. God, I'm just acting like such a jackass this week.
Stephen the Nuclear Man here. I'm going to tell you first about the new book that I've just published by Matt Betts called See No Evil, Say No Evil. In fact, you can probably find everything that you need to know about this book, including whether or not you'd care for it, by going to the instructions for converting your deathbot to a garden bot the fun and easy way at thehappybotgardener.com. Go check it out, and you can hear Matt read a sample from the book. Also, today's music is The Theme by Echoed, and also C95 Routine Maintenance Mission by Javelinus, all found on ccmixture.org. On with the story. Can hear you scream. The speaker crackled and clicked on. Everything good, Sergeant? The astronaut tied to the chair moaned through the gag. I know you're not a man of science, so hopefully you'll forgive a small lecture. The man strained against the plastic ropes, tipping the chair over. Sound is transmitted by molecules vibrating against one another, and space is a vacuum. No molecules! The man saw the bomb just out of reach. Well, not quite a vacuum, just very few molecules. They have to move a long way to hit another one. The bomb's timer ticked down to zero. So scream loud!
Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. Wait, what is this doing in this directory? Great. I'm adding Susan Jewell's newest song, and I'm like, okay, what directory do I put it in? It's, I don't know. Hold on. Drink You Gone, unknown album. Is it playing? Okay, there it is. All right, good. Oh, and there's a new version of iTunes. Oh, God. All right. I'm going to clean up my library after this, so hopefully y'all don't mind that I'm just... it's getting out of control. All right, hold on. I got a message, and there's Storytellers Unlimited, and now I've got comments, and my God, just everything's out of control this morning. All right, take a deep breath. Oh, we got a new story in from Kimmy Ann. All right. Yay! Got a 100-word story for ya! Thanks and sorry, no time to record this one. All right. I'll do it for you. Hold on, let me get the microphone ready. The newly affordable Time Machine had spurred strings of plaza and mall businesses. Where today and yesteryear meet, the sexy female voice purred from the speaker just inside the shop at Tower Place. People used to have to carry around their broken lives, patching what they could with words and good intentions, which ultimately failed. That is, until now. A chance for a new beginning, to never utter those damnable words, to return before the ravages of disease and time took their toll. It was over and done with in the space of 3 minutes. Death and rebirth. Thank you, Kimmy. And that sexy female voice. Wow, I sure carried that off. I need to fire up the speech to text. Text to speech. God, what's the point of speech to text for a podcast? That's just crazy, man. Well, for transcribing, but... No, stop. Thank you, Kimmy Ann. God, I'm just getting way up a rope here. Maybe I should hand things off to someone who can get us back on track. Maybe Brocaley? Reading for Red Goddess. Yeah, that'll work. Okay, here's Brocaley. Dude, save me.
Well, hello to my favorite podcast in the whole wide world. I am delighted to once again have been invited by Red Goddess to read her 100-word story entitled Space. Here we go. Hit it! Lola wakes up to rain tapping her bedroom windows. She sleepwalks through her apartment looking for her cell phone. Something feels different today. I guess I'm all alone. On the cluttered kitchen table, an upside-down pineapple cake rests with a fork in the middle. Lola pauses and can no longer hear the rain. Every time her grandmother has bad news, she bakes Lola's favorite dessert. Lola takes a tiny bite and hurries back under the bed comforter. She tastes the memories of every problem and hears the rain again. She wishes she could run away to space and scream her worries away. Space by Red Goddess. Thank you.
I wish I could run away to space. But I can't. I have to finish this podcast. Maybe after I finish the podcast, I can run away to space. Okay, it's a date. Thank you, both Red Goddess and... Brocaley for reading for Red Goddess. I like this. Maybe someone will read my stories one day. No one wants to read my crap. Ooh, man, the coffee's starting to fight back. Let's see. Next up, Norval Joe. He got his story in. If you didn't get your story in, shame on you. But you can overcome that shame by joining in next week, okay? So... That's all right. Just sit with the hat of shame for now. Or the cone of shame. You could be like a dog. That way you don't lick your feet. You're welcome to lick my feet if you want. Well, I'd better play Norval Joe's story.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 334 with a prompt of space. Here's my story. "Give me some space," Sharika said, took a deep breath, and relaxed her arms at her sides. The company moved behind the wizardess. Spleen waved his arms over his head and screamed as he ran toward them. "I wish he'd get out of my way," Sharika said about the half-goblin. "I can arrange that," Elbanor said, knocking an arrow. Sharika raised her hands, and Owen saw the meadow around them ripple with heat waves. Fortunately for Spleen, he tripped. Sharika sent out a wave that sucked the air from the meadow. The demon giant was blasted to countless gobs of gore. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Mary had a wiener dog, and all could clearly see that everywhere poor Mary went, the dog would go and pee.
Dude! Didn't Thomas Edison say that when recording? Thomas Edison had a thing for wiener dogs. You know that when he was trying to invent the wiener dog, it took him thousands and thousands and thousands of failures before he finally came up with it? And the funny thing is, people actually liked the dogs that he was creating before then. Until, you know, the wiener dog was like, oh man, what the hell is that? And he's like, no, really, this is what I've been trying to do all this time. And no one believed him. And they said, oh God, that dog is ugly. Ew. Just kind of, you know, like a, yuck, put that thing away. But you know what? No one really, you know, tastes change. And then folks started with the wiener dog. And the problem is, sticking the wiener dog on the wax cylinder to listen to the dog, that was the mistake. Then he started trying to talk to the dead. That's just wrong. Thank you to Norval Joe. Sometimes I get a little confused. Man, I'm just scratching here. Can you hear that? Yeah, I need to use the trimmer. I'm getting real good about using the trimmer and then shaving on the sides. And that way I actually look presentable for the first few days. And then at the end of the week I look like, oh God. But actually I felt kind of good on Friday. So, let's see how long that lasts. I know what will last, and that is the joy we have at listening to TJ's story. Let's hear if he's gotten settled in and everything's fine, and or if, like, a pipe is broken. That's what always happens in the first week. A pipe breaks, and then there's leaks on the floor, and it was like, ah! And remember, winter is coming, and it gets to be, like, minus 200 below, and everyone's stuffing each other into tauntauns, and just... gross. So here is TJ, now that I've set you up properly.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and this is New House. The new house is fine. The space is organized a little weirdly. All the upstairs bedrooms are tiny, and all the ceilings are low. Meanwhile, the main floor ceilings are so much higher. We determined that we could finagle an acceptable amount of privacy in what's probably meant to be the dining room on the main floor and made that the bedroom. We'll just eat in the living room, once it's not overflowing with boxes, or on nice days we'll eat out on the porch. As for the tiny bedrooms, we're using one of them as a walk-in closet.
You see, there you go. The man knows how to arrange a house. We may need to have you down here to help us when we find a home. Although we'll probably get a townhouse. But the problem is, if we move, we'll probably move somewhere close, and then the cats will be like, oh, we're going to go hunting. Oh, wait, our real home is over there. And then they'll flee, and then we'll have to get them back from here. And it's not like we can keep them inside. They're indoor-outdoor cats. Well, they're mostly indoor, and they love being with us. But, okay, I have no idea where Mist is. She's probably in her shoebox. Little freak job. Or she's underneath my bicycle. Did I remember to thank TJ? Thank you, TJ! There. If I already did, I thanked him twice. Thank you, TJ. Now I did it three times. Beetlejuice will appear. You know the older that Michael... Keaton gets, the better he could probably do Beetlejuice, except he's probably, you know, kind of old. Unless he does yoga, then sure. But, you know, now he could really do Beetlejuice all scuzzy. You know, he may need makeup to actually look younger. So, I just... Right. All the old people now are going to get mad at me. I deserve it. I deserve it. One thing I don't deserve, though, is the wonder and glory of Tora Bregianu. But still, Tora keeps coming back, and I'm just thrilled, thrilled at bringing... Hold on. Wait. Do I have to read this mail? Rice Centennial. Celebrate with... Ooh! I could actually... Now that I actually have a job that I feel kind of happy about, I can go, although there are going to be people that are doctors and dentists and lawyers and captains of industry and people that have invented things. And I think there's an astronaut in my graduating. I'm not too sure. There was one who was a quarterback for the Bengals, I think. But he's not quarterbacking anymore. He's probably, you know, just like, oh, yeah, I held a clipboard for 10 years. It was awesome, man. Yeah, paid a ton to hold a clipboard. Man, I could hold a clipboard. But, you know, whatever. I'm not jealous. No, not me. I dug the hole that I live in. It's a nice hole. I've got it decorated and every... Man, more messages. What the hell? Beyond Flash. Ghosts and... Uh-oh. Ghosts in a Bumboat is starting. Oh, yeah. Singh is reading his Ghosts in a Bumboat. So I need to hurry up here and get this done. So here's Tora. And, you know, relax.
I step through the church porch and close the heavy wooden door, hearing the echoes of the latch dropping into place. The nave runs eastward, to my right. No rood screen, I think. There is one aisle on the north side. I walk up the nave and sit on one of the pews, listening to the silence. There is no one else here. Mathematicians have proved that you cannot hear the shape of a drum. But the three-dimensional case is not settled. Can you hear the shape of a space? Well enough, I think, tapping my white cane on the stone.
Thank you, Tora. That'll have us all pondering for a while. Okay, done pondering. Just, I'm so shallow. All right, so the new job, first week, it's going well. I need to read more of this style guide. I just need to read it over and over and over again, even though yesterday in the tub I read 30 pages of Hitch 22. Because Christopher Hitchens, man, you know, just, God, you know, whatever. He's just throwing big words out and for all the, God, I just want something nice and light reading. Didn't he ever do a pop-up book? No. Never mind. So one more story this week, and it's by Planet Z. So here we go with Planet Z on the subject of space.
When Neil Armstrong died, I wondered where he would be buried. Would he be buried at the museum in his hometown of Wapakoneta, Ohio? Or would his final place of rest be in Arlington National Cemetery, another hero added to their collection? Perhaps he would blast his ashes into space as payload, like Clyde Tombaugh, Pluto's discoverer. I unfolded the form letter his office had sent, declining my request for an autograph. Humble. Decent. Neil was a Navy man, and he shunned the spotlight for self-promotion or enrichment. Just a simple burial at sea for him, vanishing into the waves.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about space. And a few good lessons to live your life by. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, hint, 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 and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Hint, hint, hint. Until next week, where the topic will be What will the topic be? And cube? Oh, that's a weird one. Anyway, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.